Good morning again. This is Jason Nemro, and you're listening to Cohen Meander. I don't do a lot of review. Now people go, oh, we're going to talk about 2024 review, and you go, I don't know. Maybe I am, looking back. Number one, have gratitude for all you've been given. 2024 was an interesting year for me. I left one job at Pantex and then I went to other work a bit closer to home. No point in trying to find a living situation closer to a job. I was only going to have for a little while longer. Yeah, it still gives me time here to sit and to talk with you about some things that I have pondered and learned. I can't speak for the whole year, guy. A year's too long. When I think back, it's like, oh my gosh, is that what I was doing this time last year? And you go, yeah. I had just gotten out of a very, it wasn't a terribly expensive apartment, but it was expensive for my purposes. Bought a quarter acre of land in Fritch, Texas, which did not work out ultimately. Ultimately started becoming a big, big problem. Of course, there was a big fire over there. I don't want to recall all that. It was an interesting thing. It was starting to give me health problems. And so that was what ultimately had me leave that. That particular situation was just not long-term workable, I thought. And it was. I was starting to have heart palpitations, as far as I was aware of. It's getting really kind of rough. Anyway, so left there and anyway, so things to remember is gratitude. Not that I have a real gratitude problem to begin with. I read the scriptures often to remind myself how grateful I am for the Lord. How much He has blessed and prospered the righteous, trying to be righteous. And I don't know if He spurs on bad things for the wicked, or if He just leaves them alone and bad things will just happen if the Lord isn't taking care of you. You know, I really don't know. I really don't know which thing that is. Regardless, you know, I was just looking. You have to know that in the past, I used to sleep out at the crash site. Wasn't, you know. And I went out and made a trip out there not too long ago to kind of scope it out to see what things were looking like. And, not too promising. My dome had been destroyed. The fence that I had put up was only partly still up. You know, it's not surprising given what happened. I don't know if somebody came and stole it all or if the cows, came and got the, got the hay, and in the course of getting the hay, tore down that thing. I don't know, so I cannot say. I lost a little bit of my faith in humanity, honestly. And I was just looking yesterday. One of the big problems was there are several people who had purchased lots. And the road that so many people took to get back to there's only two or three people back there. Only two, really. And put up barriers saying, no, you can't do this anymore. It's my property. And it's like, okay, well, there it is. And, if I took a look today on some maps, and I think I found a good alternative route to get out to my place out there. So I think I'm back in action that way. It's tempting to go ahead and put the boat back out there just to establish my presence once again. So I don't know. Think about it again. It's not a bad thing. I already pay taxes on it. I already do what it takes to continue to possess it. And anyway, so I was looking at that again because I look around at other pieces of property and it's like, what are you doing there, bro? You already have a piece of property. You're not doing anything with that one. And it's like, well, maybe we should go back to doing something with it. I don't really have deep needs to be out there. But we shall see. I don't know. Guy, I hope I don't have to get another job in Albuquerque. Do those sorts of things. Regardless. So that's one. Be grateful. Be grateful for what you have. I think that's kind of a part of that. If you have something, enjoy it. And then, okay, another one just came up. Like I said, this isn't I might call this the 2024 review, but it's not really that, but people listen to those kinds of things. Regardless, just listening to another conference talk. It's from October of 2024. And, a good conference? Yes, sure. The conference really ends up being a cacophony of voices. Do they say a lot of the same things? Sure. Listen to one fellow, he was talking about his experience joining the church. You get that a lot, especially from 70s. You know, the old timers, the people who have been, who are the children of Brigham Young and Heber C. Kimball and old pioneer stock. You don't hear those kinds of testimonies from them because they don't have that experience particularly, which I think is funny because I feel like I had something of a conversion experience. Although My parents joined the church before I was born, and so I was raised somewhat Latter-day Saint, although from people who were struggling to come to grips with the gospel. My mom embraced it early. I think it took my dad a little bit longer, even though he was really the catalyst that made the whole thing happen. Anyway, is talking about the love of God, and I'm often, I often cringe at the mention of the word love. I don't know why exactly. I think it's because what people expect from love. People expect love to break down barriers. And to a certain extent, I guess that's true. I think people think that God's love is big L love, and I think his love really should manifest itself as little L love. You, pardon me. You need to get married and cleave to your spouse. That is big L love. Or at least I guess that's kind of the term I'm going to give it. You know, I used to cry quite a bit, the way that public education was kind of an assembly line. I was wrong. It's not kind of an assembly. If it was kind of an assembly line, people would come out reasonably well educated. The fact that it's not is that it makes it a bad comparison with how God operates, which I think is somewhat, it's not really a factory assembly line, but it is a progression and getting yourself to some point. And that's what he has. You've already gone through the first part of things and you're already going to be blessed for it. You are living through mortality. Unless you just wholesale rebel against God and do your best to try and make sure others do not follow the path that God has set out for your eventual exaltation and joy. Sad part is, I think, you know, people say, oh, there's going to be so few people in outer darkness, and they might have a point there, but there are people in rebellion against God and what he wants to accomplish. Now, it may be from a sense of very, very well-schooled and well-compensated ignorance. This is where I put a lot of a lot of Christish ministers, you know, who I, you know, I was just listening to a podcast not too long ago from Ward Radio, one of the ones I don't follow them particularly, but got some, it's pretty good. It's kind of almost half comedy, Latter-day Saint style, which is a hard thing to pull off quite often because it touches on the culture so much, which I am not much of a culturalist at all. I understand that the Latter-day Saint culture, which I'm happy to call Mormon culture or Utah culture, can be helpful, can help people discover the gospel and start to act on it. But a certain point after that, it starts becoming a problem because of weird things going on. Things that people do. I like to think of it as almost crass commercialization. Somewhat analogous to the money changers at the temple. But I don't want to go down that road too much. I've hashed that one quite a bit. But you feel like you have to so often because, you know, some people pick up one of your recordings and you almost feel like that you just want to record the same things over and over and over again. especially for those people who are just picking up on it. You know, how often are they going to go back and listen to all of your recordings? Of which I have, thousands of hours of recordings strewn all over creation. Go to my gopher. First you go to Quix, Quix.us, and that gets you to kind of the signpost page. And then under that, you'll see the gopher space. What's it called? The qualitative idiosyncratic Zendolcium. Zenodochium. I don't know how to pronounce it. Doesn't matter. And go to audio, and then you'll start drilling down. There's a whole lot of old radio programs there. I used to do a radio station, so I had a lot of content mostly made for the radio station. I would put out my actual stuff, because, I don't know. Maybe I should. Anyway, but I don't do the radio station anymore, to be honest. Most of the houses around me are either empty, are either empty or, you know, kind of antagonistic. I don't know how to, you know. Anyway, I think everybody wants God to be a big L person. Oh, I love you so much, my dear honey child. Oh, you're so wonderful. And I've got all this stuff, and I'm just going to shower you with it. And you know, you don't have to do a thing, because you're my child. And I'm sorry, too many scriptures, too much stuff to say God isn't doing this to show off how wonderful the Father is, which is most of that stuff. I mean, people love to be recipients of such things. And they can view these opportunities that you have as, you know, oh, there's give me a freely given gift, isn't it wonderful? And you go, no. So he's trying to raise people to his level, to his stature. And how one does that is an interesting process. Because you can, like a slave, for instance, be obedient to God's commandments. You can look at it that way. You know, you can say, oh, I'm doing this so I don't burn in hell. You know, I'm going to be a good person just because I want to avoid hellfire. And you go, oh, you know, that's something. That's something to get you going. That's a beginning. And that will merit you better things. Better activities merit you better things. Not, you know, because to a certain degree, what happens in life has to do with, does God want you anywhere near it? And you go, well, that's not very loving. And you go, well, you know what? He gets to have the kind of existence that he prefers. You know, don't you like spending time with your good kids that you enjoy being around, that enjoy being around with you, that you're both working in the same direction, you both do similar things, you have similar goals and aspirations. And then it's like, you know, you have a larger family gathering, and it brings in all your kids and all the cousins and all that stuff. And you kind of go over to that place, and it's kind of like, you know, your kids that are just gone off the rails completely and stuff like that. And love telling other people what a rotten person you are. Because, you know, he says, oh, I know he has this wonderful relationship with his favorite children, but he doesn't have that kind of relationship with me. And you go, well, what have you put forth to have that kind of a relationship? What are you doing? You say, well, my father was, okay, like my, I'm not going to say that. Anyway, this is how God's of the same ilk. If you listen to some of the parables, some of the parables say quite plainly, if you don't sit there and try to work them around and say, oh, this is what my friend George thinks it means, and it makes me feel good. So that's the interpretation I get. Just listen to the story and figure out that does God have his favorites? Oh yeah. Is Jesus one of God's favorites? Oh yeah. And how did Jesus get that? Being trusted. He could trust him. They were both on the same, both working toward the same goal. The immortality and eternal life of all of God's children. Jesus' main job was to show us the way and to overcome big barriers. You know, the big barrier of sin, Christ overcame that. The big barrier of death, if you want to become like God and have a body like his, you've got to be resurrected. Christ accomplished his resurrection, opened the door for all of us to be resurrected. In fact, everybody will. You say, oh, it's a free gift. You go, oh, no, don't tell Christ that. He paid for that one. It's really easy when you get something for free, like a car or something from parents or things like that. But that typically also means that you don't care much about it. If you crash that car into a brick wall, you know, you didn't give much thought to it. In fact, you may be upset because after you do it, you kind of look at your parents and you go, hey, my first car got wrecked. Where's my second car? Don't I get a second car? Isn't that, it's like, man, that may actually be a pretty good metaphor. Because, you know, Christ gives gift, not, and let me tell you, you go, well, are there any strings attached? And you go, well, heck yeah, there's strings attached. It says, number one is gratitude. Number two is do what I tell you to do. He doesn't tell you to do a ton. It's not hard. Number three, I don't even remember what number three was. You know me, I can only get up to two at best. Everybody seems to expect more out of God's love, and God's been pretty straightforward about what exactly his God bought, his love, this thing buys you. We've called it love, we've translated it as love, and you go, I've often wondered what kind of word we should use instead. I can't figure one out. I guess love's going to have to do. But I don't think it really does the job. Of course, you have to understand that most people, most children, says how many people actually end up not being children anymore or behaving like children. You know, expect just a boatload of free stuff. That's what parents are all about. Your parents are supposed to be a constant stream of free stuff and bailing you out and making it so that you don't have to become a responsible person. And it's like, wait a minute. This is no, the whole point is you're supposed to grow up and become yet another responsible person. God thinks of it the same way when it comes to his greatest gift that he wants to give you, which is exaltation, a life, the life that he has, and the station and the position that he has. It's like being the ultimate grandpa and seeing your children succeeding the way you had done. Now, it's not about money. It's not about the job you have. It's not about that kind of stuff. It's about being a kind of person. And a big part of being that kind of person is wanting better things for your children. You make the way clear for them to move forward, to be able to acquire these attributes. And that's what it's really about. That's what good parents want you to become. That's what God wants you to become, is like that. And it's kind of sad and depressing when your children don't listen to you. When you go, make marriage your first priority. After that, children. And your work, your all the other things around it, the house that you get, the vehicles that you get, things like that, those are all in service to the big things. Cleaving to your spouse and raising up children. And when your own children choose not to do that, of course, there's going to be 1,000 reasons not to do this. Cultural or financial or whatever. You go, you're not doing what God asked. How come God should be inclined to be helpful to you? He's given you everything you need to make it happen. And it can happen, and that's naturally really the miracle. I don't think I would be making the money I do now, having the kind of resources that I have now, if I hadn't clutched on early in life to marriage and parenthood. Of course, now my children are adults. And I really need them to step up to the plate. And the sad part is, only one really has. And it kind of breaks my heart with having 6 children and modeling to them. And you go, is it hard? I said, oh yeah, it's hard. He says, let's not get into the other. Very good. The other problems of life, I said, there are always going to be problems to life. He says, but you know what happens though? As you come and talk about your problems to your Heavenly Father, to God, He'll help you. He will help you. Good things will happen. Now you've got to grab onto them in gratitude. And go for them. Like I said, you can just be obedient because, you know, you're supposed to be. You know, says, I don't want to burn in hell for having missed something. And you go, at a certain point, you go, you know, I don't think it's so much about missing things is about totally skipping things that are vital, that are central. God blesses your obedience. You'll see that over time. And so it needs to become kind of this thing of, I want to try to be more obedient to garner more blessings. I want to get more blessings. How about that for simplicity? And then, we already talked a little bit about the whole point about being trustworthy. Getting to the point to where God can trust you with stewardships. The ultimate stewardship that he wants to be able to give to you is Godhood. A life like he has, doing the things that he does. And he says, it's wonderful, it's joyful. You know, I don't know if he would go as much to say, hey, I get a kick out of it. He must. Because it's what he does. He goes through that process. I don't know, sometimes I'm kind of going, you know what, I'm glad I'm through the whole phase of having children. I know other people who's like, oh, I love children. I love having children. And my whole life is to have kids. I don't want my kids to be perpetual children. Seems to be such a, oh, I'm sorry, I've got hiccups. Seems to be a thing these days. Not to really grow up. Not to become a truly responsible person. But to just fool around. This is, I'm really saddened by so many quote adults end up having some kids. Often not married. Giving really infantile excuses for not doing these things. Telling everybody, oh, woe is me, because of my circumstances. Too many women with a tail of kids. And they can hardly function as adults. And you go, yet they're taking on responsibility. Well, they don't, we don't give them a choice, of course, because this is what happens when you do these things. You get that tail of kids. And so, yeah, you get these constantly devolving things. And it's difficult to try to drum up the interest in trying to help them or save them. You want to help those who had bad misfortune. You know, a couple who had married and everything gone well, and they had kids and they were working it, and then all of a sudden he died, or she died. And, you know, you really do want to help those people. And of course, that's always the picture you put up. Oh, these were people and they fell on hard times. And you go, but you know what? A really large majority of, you know, single moms, whatever, just not being, not stepping very actively into the adult world and doing what adults need to do, you know. Of course, it all comes, the whole thing of, well, you know, I just wanted to have fun, and sex is fun, and, you know, I need to be able to abort children, abort pregnancies. Let's make it sound a little better for them. And these are just people that really don't deserve much, and that, to be honest, Heavenly Father really doesn't want to Because I want to have much to do with. You know, wouldn't you as a parent be embarrassed by such actions? And you go, oh, God would never be embarrassed by me. And you go, oh, please, please. Shaking your fist at God, telling him how angry you are because he doesn't sit there and give you a nice house, a nice car, wonderful food to eat just because you live and breathe. And you're behaving like this, and you're going, you know, God's not going to be unhappy? This is, can I be honest? God isn't unhappy. He just doesn't bless that. And you say, but I'm his daughter or his son. And you go, I can't, you know, this is, I spend time with the people who are doing the right things. I don't spend a lot of time with people like you. Unless you ask. And I see an opening. I see an opportunity for you to decide to change your life. But anyway, gratitude. The really sad thing is now we've got a term for it really has to do with not doing things. It's called adulting. Then I had to adult. I had to do some adulting, which I didn't like doing. I don't want to have to do that. And you go, no, you know what? Nobody does. Nobody wants to have to live up to being an adult. Because the biggest thing is, you still have to. And you still need to. Or you're just, you know, or your existence will just continue. Will it get better? Sure it will. This is a testing ground, so it's got kind of an obstacle course to go through. Mortality does. And once you're through it, life is only an obstacle course after that. Your future, after you're resurrected, you won't die again, so you don't have to worry about that. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to die. And you go, oh, you don't have to worry about that anymore. That's one of the obstacles down here, is the fight for life. Certainly can help encourage you toward better things. Now, you don't have to stick with those better things. You can say, oh, screw that. I'm just going to do the bare minimum of what needs to be done. And, you know, the fact that you might have children is actually kind of a tricky thing. That's your life and your example are extra burdens that have to be overcome. Now, the great part is, it's not really that hard to overcome them. Please don't listen to psychologists very much, especially ones that tell you about how much of a victim of circumstances you are. It says it isn't as bad as it is made out to be. The literature is replete with stories of people that came from pretty sad beginnings. Really horrible family lives. And if your kids say that they came from a bad family life and they're blaming their parents, you know what? Ingratitude. Ingratitude. I'm not saying it was perfect, but nobody said it had to be perfect. We were trying. We were trying to do things and trying to get through, and as much as your kids were trying to make your life miserable, and now they still are by saying, it's still your fault. It's all your fault that I don't have the finer things So that's all your fault that I've got all these neuroses and stuff like that. And you go, well, quit looking at your darn navel. Quit sitting there and bellyaching and going and paying other people to pat you on the head and tell you how hard you have it. This is because they're not helping you. They're keeping you down. You're a cash cow to them. And you go, oh, I'm a good psychologist. I don't behave that way. I'm not saying you can't, but a lot of them do. Therapy is very lucrative. Everybody should be in therapy. Oh, it's such a good thing. I said, no. Since the vast majority of people should not be in therapy. Your grandparents didn't work in therapy unless they were really rich. Your great-grandparents definitely weren't in therapy. Therapy didn't even exist. Didn't happen. And half the time, what your great-grandparents would have done to you, which is give you a good strap across the backside and say, get up off your duff and quit belly aching and get to work. Says that's usually the advice that most people need. Of course, now if you do that as a parent, something bad will happen to you. You go to jail or you get your kids taken away because of our wonderful society. I don't know if God's going to come in consequence of this kind of circumstance. Where it's like, I can't even parent my children. All I do is I conceive and bear children so that I can give them away to a government school, to, quote, experts, to, so they can do a much more finely detailed ruining of their life by screwing around with their heads. Says I don't feel much for that because it doesn't really breed. It doesn't breed what's necessary. It doesn't breed trust. How many therapists tell you to go out and get married and have kids? Almost none of them will. Almost none of them will. In fact, it is a profession that spends most of its time giving you excuses, finely tooled excuses for not doing these things. Oh, it's just too much for you. And you go, wow, I don't know how this must have been how the human race survived this long was they didn't have therapists telling them not to have children and trying to give them all kinds of very studious reasons to be narcissistic and not to be about anything more than immediate, I don't know if there's a term for guilt-free living besides narcissism. Giving you reasons to live guilt-free, giving you drugs to make you kind of feel better. Those don't work. If they work at all, they don't work very long. Regardless, here's where all that stands. Instead of doing the things that God really wants us to do, which is to follow Jesus Christ, get married, have children and teach them to follow Jesus Christ. Even if you didn't do a very good job, encourage them to do a good job. Encourage them to do maybe even a better job. I don't think it matters. You will be blessed for your efforts trying to tell them to be better people and to be grateful for, you know, on some level, be grateful for this world. It works really well. I mean, you can do a lot of big stuff to try to destroy it, and I'm pretty sure that the earth will win and that you will lose. It's that simple. Golly. You know, people all say, oh, we're going to destroy the earth. You know, Where is it? We were supposed to have destroyed the Earth. I mean, how many decades have we been told that we were going to destroy the Earth? And the Earth persists in not fulfilling your prophecy that the Earth is going to be destroyed. So the only person who can destroy the Earth is the guy who built it. It's Jesus Christ. It's already in the program when the Earth is going to be basically end, and when better things, and it's not really the globe that will end. It will be that its purposes for other reasons will end. Anyway, so garner God's trust. The way you do that is through obedience to His commandments, not just because you want to avoid evil, although that's a great start. If that's how you avoid sin is because you're afraid of what will be done to you if you don't, that's a great start. That'll get you quite a ways down that road. But at some point, hopefully, you will say, you know what? It says, another reason why I want to do this, perhaps a higher one hopes, is that I want to do what God is doing. I want to gain that greater understanding. I want to enjoy life with my obedient, desirous children. We can all live together in peace, joy, and won't it be wonderful to see that happen? Make it happen, folks. Keep putting off things. Don't keep putting off things that are the most important. Anyway, there it is, your review of 2024. If it sounds like other reviews, hey, there it is. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Bad things happening? Sure. Good things happening? Sure. Someday we'll come up with more intelligent things to do with our lives. With mortality. Until then, don't sweat it too much. Spend more of your time. Golly. Spend more of your time going out and blessing the lives of others. And that will get you closer and closer to where it has to be. So for any of you who are listening to this, I hope that was helpful. I hope it gives you some enthusiasm or some desire to pursue an exaltation that God, your Heavenly Father, is trying to help you to get to. Oh, pardon me. I hope some of these things that are good stick in your craw and you want them. And in service to that, this has been Cohen Meander. I'm Jason Demereaux. I'll leave you with the blessing of my fathers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance towards you and give you peace.